Good evening. I want to welcome everyone to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this Ash Wednesday as we begin Lent. And remind you, if you'll sign your red pad and pass it down the aisle. And we started something new last year, we call sin offering, and you'll notice the container we have here. And you were given slips of paper, and at the appropriate time, or you can go ahead and do it at any time, and you write out a sin that you may have in your life. Maybe it's a hidden sin, and you don't want to show it to anyone, or you haven't confessed it to anyone. You can confess it to the Lord tonight. We're going to put it in this container, and we're going to burn it and offering it up as a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. And we'll make sure that they all are burnt and no one will see it. And I noticed when we did it last year, some people had them in real tight balls. I guess they didn't want anybody to see them. So they were a little harder to burn. So maybe if you don't squeeze them up quite as hard, they'll burn a little bit better. But the ones that do not burn fully up here, we will take outside after the service, and I'll make sure that all burnt and no one sees them. Do not sign your name to them. Just it's between you and God. That's all. Yeah, we'll take up the regular offering. A money offering is never a sin offering. And we'll pass the plate back around at the during the service at the sin offering. The same people will pass another offering plate, and we'll take those and then bring them up. And that will be the beginning as we start. Because when we have communion, we're always supposed to confess our sins before the Lord and start afresh when we have communion. So that's part of the reason we're doing this. So they'll be brought up front and burnt before we actually take communion. And to remind you, the loose offering collection will be given to the session council. It's called now, that's new in our book of order, to further their work. This Sunday, February 26th, it's really late this year because of the way everything is changing, is the ordination and installation of the elders and the deacons. For those elders and deacons who have never been ordained, and for those who are not currently sitting on the board, will be installed on their boards. Women's Association meeting after church this Sunday, and the elders will be meeting also. And then the youth group, you can read about that. The Adult Sunday School meeting at 9:15 in the library. And March the 4th, we're very excited, Scout Sunday. And remind everyone, Junior Church, the first three Sundays of each month. And remind you, there is no nursery this evening, but there is a room with a speaker in it in the library. Anyone can go in at any time. Annual congregation meeting will be held Sunday, March 21st, so 25th, excuse me. Our report submitted to Mary Stultz or Ella Lyons. I think most of those are coming in, but we want to wrap those up. And you can read those other two. Any other announcements that need to be made? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise, number 66, To God Be the Glory. Thank you. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you because you have forgiven our sins. We praise you for providing us with the gift of salvation. Forgive us when we continue down destructive paths. Teach us that we need to reflect on the meaning of the cross and the sacrifice Jesus made for each of us. Help us to have a sense of remorse for those we have harmed. Show us the way to authentic repentance. May we have a changing experience through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us unite as part of the church worldwide here at Glenshaw Valley as we recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. If you don't know someone's name, be sure to ask them.
Thank you.
Our responsive reading is 718 in your hymnals, a contemporary affirmation of faith. We believe in Jesus Christ the Lord, who was promised to the people of Israel, who came in the flesh to dwell among us, who announced the coming of the rule of God, who gathered disciples and taught them, who died on the cross to free us from sin, who rose from the dead to give us life and hope, who reigns in heaven at the right hand of God, who comes to judge and bring justice to victory.
We believe in God as the Father, who raised him from the dead, who created and sustains the universe, who acts to deliver his people in times of need, who desires all men everywhere to be saved, who rules over the destinies of men and nations, who continues to love men, even when they reject him.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the form of God present in the church, who moves men and women to faith and obedience, who is a guarantee of our deliverance, who leads us to find God's will in the Word, who assists those whom he renews in prayer, who guides us in discernment, who impels us to act together.
We believe God has made us his people, to invite others to follow Christ, to encourage one another to deeper commitment, to proclaim forgiveness of sins and hope, to reconcile men to God through word and deed, to bear witness to the power of love or hate, to proclaim Jesus the Lord over all, to meet the daily tasks of life with purpose, to suffer joyfully for the cause of Christ, to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the age, to the praise of his glory. Amen.
Amen. I'd like to open this portion of the service up for the pastoral prayer. I invite you to submit any prayer requests. And you can peruse the back of your bulletin, and you'll see Nancy Baker, Bill's wife, is hospitalized at Allegheny General Hospital. Those of you who have on the email have been reading, I've been sending these off about her and Isabel. She was at work. A sliding door caught her thumb, just about ripped it off, many stitches, and while she was waiting to be taken back into the ER to be attended to, she had a heart attack and ended up being a mild one, I guess, but it damaged the arterial walls, and so there, when I talked to her today, she was much better. In a better mood, and had, they were taking her in for more tests, trying to check the enzymes and doing sonograms and EKGs, trying to make sure everything was fine. So she'll at least be there tonight and maybe longer. Now, Isabel Mellinger has been in St. Margaret's for a couple of days. They will be operating on her tomorrow. Of course, we don't know the time. She had two, they called mini strokes. Come to find out, her right carotid artery is 90% blocked, and her left carotid artery is 70% blocked. So they're going to operate tomorrow on the right one, and because that's, of course, 90%, take care of that one first, and then when that is healed up, they'll go back and operate on the one that is 70%. So be in prayer for both of those. And Verna's husband, Ron, went in for a colonoscopy, and they found a mass in his colon. Of course, they've sent him off for a biopsy. That should be back at least by the first of next week, and then he's going to have to go in for another colonoscopy also. So let's be in prayer for Ron and for Verna and these families as they go through this. Any other prayer requests at this time? Kathy? Thanks for her mom, who went through surgery well, pain but healing. Her niece Debbie, 34, and has colon cancer. For her boss, skin cancer down into his jaw. A lot like prayers for my brother Mike. You know, he had cancer in his ear, and they took the bone out, lost his hearing. They operated and put the box, cochlear-type device. And it's either in the morning or the next day. I've got to look at my calendar again. They're putting the outside device on, so hopefully he will have hearing after that. So in prayer for my brother Mike. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer and remind you in Presbyterian tradition we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Ash Wednesday. We are gathered here because we understand that we are sinners, that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And we can only come to you because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He became the sacrifice once and for all. And we accept that sacrifice in our lives, that we can have a sense of holiness and righteousness. He has done for us what we could never do for ourselves. We thank you for that, Lord. That has opened up the gates of heaven literally for us and helps us to have a promise of an abundant life upon this earth. But that does not mean that we do not suffer trials and tribulations and heartaches. Even Christ did. That is part of life. But we know to come to you with our prayers, with our needs, our wants, our desires. So we lay our hearts bare before you, presenting our prayers of thanksgiving, our needs, our intercessions to you. We thank you that we are able to do that. That we're not just throwing up words that fall on deaf ears, but you do listen to us, and you hear us, and you answer us, not always according to our will, but according to yours. Help us, when possible, to line our will up according to yours, and to accept that. Thank you for your love. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for everything that you do for us and for everything that we can do for one another. Thank you for all the lessons that you taught when you walked upon the face of this earth, all that you taught your apostles and your disciples. And thank you for this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, our screen song, is Step by Step. thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all of the gifts that you've given us from above, everything that touches our lives, for the gift of music, for the gift of money, for the gift of friendship and fellowship. May we use everything that we have, not for our glory or for our own selfish use, but for yours. As pastor, I ask that you touch everybody's life and let them feel your blessings. In the name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend, we do pray. Amen.
Good evening, Church of Elf and Wild. I did it again. Just once, I'd like to get through this without making a mistake. Good morning, Glenshaw Valley. How are you?
Good evening.
That too. I hope you had a good morning and will tomorrow. All right, now let's get serious, maybe. Today's scripture is part of a letter that was written by John to believers, providing them with ideas on how to be a good Christian. However, when I first read this scripture, I took umbrage with it. I didn't like it. It bothered me. For it said that we are all sinners. And I didn't think I was a sinner. After all, I was good. But then this asks the question, what is sinning? And in Matthew 34 through 40, Jesus summed it up by condensing the Ten Commandments. He said, love God, your Lord, with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. But secondly, love your neighbor as yourself. And what this means, that any time you affront another person, any time you talk evil, any time you do something mean to them, any time you steal, any time you rob from them or even covet what they have, you are sinning. Well, that convinced me that I was a sinner. So then I started thinking about how can I get out of this? And then I read in Matthew 19, 16 through 26 about the rich man. And Jesus said at the end of that, what is impossible for man is possible through God. So someone who only relies on doing good things and worships money before God, like the rich man, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Doing good works alone does not cleanse you of your sins. There is only one way to be cleansed of your sins, and that's through confessing your sins and being made righteous by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So it's a good time for us to reflect on that as we enter the Lenten season on our way to Easter. So listen to John 1:8-10.
I don't have it all up here. It's not all up here.
Yeah, I'll do my own. I screw it up anyway. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not within us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we haven't sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not within us. Please bless the reading of our scripture, and hopefully next time I won't make another mistake.
When Pastor Derek Rust of Lakeville, Minnesota, preached a sermon series on the Ten Commandments, he decided to provide his congregation with a very proactive way to live out the lesson. For the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Rust placed large bins throughout the church that people could bring back and actually drop off items that they had literally stolen at one time or another in their life. Russell was inspired by the example of another pastor who had done this. He said the response for him was just very amazing and very surprising. The week after Russ's sermon on Eighth Commandment, numerous people came by the church. They left the church open during the day and to slip their stolen goodies into the bin. He said he found all sorts of items, clothing, tools, gum, actually, hotel towels, all kinds of assorted items. He says, as Russ says, that's what sermons should be about, applying truths to our lives. That's nice, but you and I might be a little surprised that church members would be guilty of stealing. It's like that time-honored story about the Catholic priest who was working in the inner city, and he was walking down a dark alley late one night when a young man came behind the alley and poked him in the back with a knife. He said, "Give me your wallet, your money." So he reached down into the inner coat pocket and unbuttoned it. When he did, the young thief saw his clerical collar. He said, "I'm sorry, Father, I cannot take your money. You're a priest." The father said, "Okay." So he reached in and got a cigar and he said, "Here, why don't you take a cigar?" He said, "Father, I can't take a cigar. I've given up smoking for Lent." "He'll rob you, but he's not going to smoke." I think we've got the values askew sometimes when we give up things for Lent. One more amusing story, at least I hope it is, comes from our Jewish friends. A priest and a rabbi are discussing the pros and cons of the various religious aspects, and inevitably the discussion turns to repentance. And the rabbi explains the value of Yom Kippur and the solemn day of atonement, a day of fasting and repentance, a good day. While the priest tells him about Lent and the 40 days of self-denial and absolution from sin. After the discussion ends, the rabbi goes home and tells his wife all about the discussion he had with the minister. And her response was, and she was kind of giggling about it, she says, "You know, 40 days of Lent, one day of Yom Kippur. Even when it comes to sin, the Gentiles still have to pay retail." Think about it. Well, I guess we do if that's the way you think of Lent. We pay retail while our Jewish friends pay wholesale. But of course, that's not the real meaning of Lent and what it's all about. What it's really about, Lent is a time of reflection on the meaning of our lives in the light of Christ's sacrifice on the cross. He died for us. What have we done for Him? Such reflection necessarily calls us to give up any practices that may be a deterrent to being the kind of people that will cause us not to be in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Ash Wednesday gives us a unique opportunity for bringing our lives into alignment with God's purpose for our lives. But it should not just be for giving something up for Lent and then going right back to it. Maybe for getting you started, for giving it up forever. Before we get into that, I thought you might enjoy, some of you say, what is Ash Wednesday? Just a little history about it. Ash Wednesday occurs 46 days before Easter. So why do we talk about, think it's odd because we often speak of the 40 days of Lent. Well, here's the reason for the discrepancy. Sundays in this period are not counted in the days of Lent. I really don't know why, but I can look it up and we'll maybe talk about that later. But you don't count Sundays. Ash Wednesday falls on different days from year to year. And I tell you, this one really caught me. I wasn't thinking about it so much. It really got here early. So according to the date of Easter, it can occur as early as February the 4th or as late as March the 10th. In some churches, a priest or minister marks the forehead of each participant with black ashes in the shape of a cross. You've all seen that. We even did it here before. While the worshiper traditionally refrains from washing it off until later in the evening, walking around, you see people at the grocery store out to eat with the crosses on their forehead. So ashes are symbolic of repentance. The symbolism echoes the Near Eastern tradition of throwing ashes over one's shoulder, signifying repentance or a sign of grief or sorrow. So we are reminded, remember that man, that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. As wording comes from Genesis 3:19. In churches that adhere closely to that tradition, those ashes are used in the service and from the Palm Sunday and kept to the next year. Now, some of us may feel great remorse for the sins that we have committed. Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart and with fasting and weeping and with mourning. We don't know the burdens that many people carry in their hearts for the sins that they have committed, especially when they have not confessed those sins, have not admitted to those sins. They burn, I think, a deep hole in your soul and affect you for all of your life. The Boston Globe once reported about the tragic accident drowning of an 8-year-old boy in a small pond. The boy was there with three of his friends looking for golf balls very innocently, and the friends reported that Chris slipped in the pond. They thought he was playing a trick on them, but that was not the true story. 2 years later, the boy who pushed Chris into the pond finally confessed his transgression, finally admitted to what really had happened. But psychologically, it was too late for him and the other boys. Long-term emotion and psychological damage for the secret that they had been harboring for 2 years had eaten away at who they were as a human being. Those secret sins, those things that we don't confess, that we think that we have gotten away with, damage us if we have any kind of a conscience at all. Many people carry around a heavy burden of guilt. Maybe it was the way that you treated someone in your family. Maybe it has something to do with something that has happened at work. There's great therapeutic value when you confess your sins to God or a counselor or to a priest or to a minister or to someone. Taking whatever burden of guilt that you've been carrying and handing it over to God and say, God, I cannot handle this guilt. I cannot handle this sin. I give this to you. I have to get it off my back. Isaiah 1:18 says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. God forgives us when we confess. It's interesting to me that the closer one feels to Christ, the more acutely aware one becomes of the sinful nature of humanity and of the sinful nature of themselves. Bad people usually do not feel remorse. Attorney Anthony, or Sonny Schwartz, is in a program that is called restorative justice. They try to get criminals and the people that they have harmed together, and so that the criminal can see what effect it has had upon the person that they have committed the crime, whether it be rape or murder or theft, breaking into the house. You may not think that would affect somebody, but just breaking in your house, what the damage that it can do. Things have been stolen. Well, whatever the crime might be. And he says that most of the criminals have no remorse, because their attitude is, society has treated me a certain way, so I don't care what I have done to other people. They deserve it. But said every once in a while, a criminal comes, and when they are face to face with the person they have harmed, it finally dawns on them that what they have done actually affects another human being. The person that they robbed in the alley really psychologically affected them. The person that they raped, it really affected them. The person that was killed in a drunk driving accident, it really affected that family. It was not a victimless crime. People were hurt and damaged. If you've come into this sermon, into this service tonight, with any sense of remorse, any sense of guilt, that's not a bad thing. We all need a little bit of that in our lives to keep us balanced. It means that you have some character. It means that you care about someone other than yourself. That what you do in your actions, you know and understand that they affect other people and their lives. You have to remember that remorse is the first step in authentic repentance. You can just say, "Oh, I'm sorry," or "I'm sorry." There's a difference. Now is the time to take the next step. Now is the time to confess your sinfulness and the covenant with God that you are making a new beginning. I don't care where you've been in your walk with Christ. Now is the time to add to it, to take a next step, a new level, to go closer, to go further. Like the little sign says, if you're headed in the wrong direction, God allows U-turns. It's like an old army officer who was, for more than 35 years, had been a heavy drinker. This was not helped by the fact that he had the temperament of a top drill sergeant, even though he had become a colonel. One day this colonel was invited to speak to a group of doctors, and he described to these physicians how he had had a personality change he had experienced. See, now he declared he was a temperament as he had once been in temperament, as considered as one once been severe, as concerned for others as he had once been selfish. And the audience was a psychiatrist of the school, which says that personalities are set very early in life, which is really true. And he protested that at his age, you can't have a personality change. Well, replied this colonel, who was a member of AA, "Well, at least I'm under new management." Maybe that's what we all need on this Ash Wednesday. To finally submit ourselves to new management. Our personalities are not all just going to radically change. We're still going to have our base personalities. But we can change. We can become better people. We can become remorseful and sorry for those we've hurt. And we can do better at not sinning. Maybe it's not so much what you need to give up as much as what you need to receive a new manager in your life. There's no better time than now. As you confess your sins and write it on that little slip of paper and watch them burn and turn into ashes, may your heart be filled with life-changing power of Christ's Holy Spirit. May you finally be able to say, "I am under new management. Christ is taking effect in my life. I'm not just sitting in a pew. I'm not just going to church. I really am becoming a Christian. It means something to me." Then you'll truly be ready to receive communion and to walk with God. May God bless you. Amen. I want to give you a few minutes if you need time. I don't know that everyone's written their sins down. I guess I don't have any sins because I didn't get a piece of paper, but I got a lot of them. I need a scroll. But I'm just going to write one. That's all we want tonight. Just sorry. If you want to write more, you can. Whatever the paper, you can write on both sides. She's offering me a note. She knows me. Thank you. And like I said, don't do this up in a lot of little pieces because we want it to burn. If you can, just fold it over once. If you want to fold it over twice and want to see it, that's fine. We'll give you a minute to write them down. And then we'll pass the plate, take it up, and then we're going to burn it, and then we'll have a prayer. Our communion hymn is 274, Break Thou the Bread of Life, verses 1 and 2. Let us bow in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we have confessed our sins before you. We've even written some down and sent them up as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you, a burnt offering. We are your children. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand. We thank you for your love, your grace, your tenderness, and your compassion. We thank you for your sacrifice upon the cross. Without it, we would be lost. We find salvation through you. As we receive this communion tonight, we're reminded of your body, your blood, your sacrifice, you giving of yourself that we might have life eternal. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us. Thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Remind you that everyone is welcome to take communion in the Presbyterian Church. You do not have to be a member of our church, even Presbyterian. And if any children that are here, we remind that that is the parents' responsibility. We just ask that they are with the parents when they receive it. And hold each element, and we will take it together. On the night that our Lord and Savior is betrayed, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. And said, "This is my body, which has been given for you. As often as you eat it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." Let us, with a sense of unity, remember the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the same night that our Lord and Savior was betrayed, he took the cup of the New Testament, pouring, saying, "This is my blood, which has been shed for the remission of the sins of the many. As often as you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." It says in Romans, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, you shall be saved. Once again, with a sense of unity, let's remember the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. Our closing hymn is 587, All Praise to Our Redeeming Lord. As you prepare to leave the sanctuary this day, I hope you go thinking about your sins, but I hope you also go thinking about the forgiveness that you have in Jesus Christ, and taking that sense of forgiveness out into a world that is lost and is dying and is looking for redemption. Go with love and grace and mercy in the name of our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.